This is eRetailer Conversations on Plus Solutions. Here's your host, Tom Shea, and co-host, Bill Kendi.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the show. We're glad to have you join us tonight. This is Thursday, October 8th of 2015, and you're listening to our monthly visit, the Profits Plus eRetailer Conversation. This is a free program that we provide to all those who read our monthly newsletter as an opportunity to sit back, relax, and hear some suggestions and ideas from an expert that Bill or I have managed to find from somewhere out around the world who can teach us something else about how to do a better job of managing our business. Except tonight we're a little on the shorthanded side because Bill Kendi is out in California, and as much as I tried to persuade him to call from out there, I mean, obviously we've got telephones and participate. Bill is somewhere in the next little bit walking his daughter down the aisle. His one and only child is getting married today, and for that reason, Bill said he needed to be there instead. So knowing that he'll listen in later, hello to Bill and best wishes for your daughter and now your son-in-law. Let's take care of business. It's tonight's session for the eRetailer Conversation is being recorded. It will be on the ProfitsPlus.org website in two formats. The first one is that it will be there as an MP3 file, meaning that you can easily download it and put it into your iPod or other similar device. Let's see, you can also take and click and listen to it from your computer, straight and direct, however you want to say that. And then we have recently added it to where you can take and use the email that we sent to you initially. And there's a link on there so that you can listen through your speakers tonight while it's live. But after the show is over tonight, that link goes dead, and you have to pick it up by one of the first two versions. So our information stud, Bruce Giroux, will grab the file sometime later tonight. He'll massage it and put it in the right kind of format. So somewhere late tonight, tomorrow, this will be up on the website for people to gather. During the course of the evening, we will be monitoring emails, and we'll be looking at Facebook. So if someone has a question that they would like to ask our guest, you will be able to take and send them in during the course of the program. That being said, let's move on. Let's introduce our guest, and let's see. I've found a special recording to introduce our guest tonight. So our guest tonight is Randy Dean. Randy Dean's referred to as the email sanity expert. Boy, I hear that noise in the background. All that, doesn't that just sound like the store sometimes? Randy is a professional speaker. He's an expert. Expert on time and email management, on effective organization and the related use of technologies. So for more than 20 years, Randy has been leading training and speaking programs for major corporations, universities, associations, and government audiences. He's obsessed with time management and personal productivity. He had previously a career as a graduate program admissions director, a professional marketer and manager, and then become the speaker and trainer that he is today. Randy had a Amazon bestseller titled Taming the Email Beast, and he has led programs for many, many people, students, managers, professionals, on how to be more productive, time, life, and understanding that email. He does some really entertaining, engaging speaking and training programs. He also has a great online series of programs. So when you are done with listening tonight and want to go over and look at his site, you're going to have access to some very immediately usable tools, strategies, and skills on how to better manage your time and the technology that's out there and the information overload. that we all seem to get into. Oh my gosh, does that sound like me? I get it so exactly. So, that being said, Randy Dean, are you out there, sir?
I am here, Tom. Great to be here tonight.
Well, thanks for coming and being with us. So when Bill had the idea and said he knew this person who comes from his home neck of the woods, I thought, you know, this is intriguing. I think the only way that I manage to get through what I have to do is just bulldozing through it. And I definitely would be one to look at and say, do I manage it properly? My crap, no, I don't. I've got multiple screens here set up to look at it all times. So I'm thinking, nah, I'm probably not a good example of it. But you, sir, on the other hand, you do bring us this information. And let me tell people about more about Randy to start with. You can find a lot of information about him. His website is Randall, R-A-N-D-A-L-L, Dean.com. He's from East Lansing, Michigan, although tonight he's joining us from Nashville. And with that being said, Randy, you've got 53 minutes here, and you can take and help us to become a whole lot more productive.
Sounds great, Tom. Be happy to help people get that email beast under control.
So I think it's just, you know, it's not necessarily just the email beast, but for those of us who come from the retail background, you know, I can remember the first person when we bought our initial computer system. And our computer system, the salesperson said repeatedly that this machine is going to save you all kinds of time. How come it didn't?
Because people started abusing it. That's exactly what happened. I remember, it's funny, because in my programs, one of the things I bring up is, you know, a lot of us remember before email. I remember my first job out of my undergraduate studies, the machine I had in front of me was an electric typewriter, not a computer. And you know, email started late 80s, early 90s for a lot of us. And when it first came out, it was a pretty powerful tool. But then people started using it badly, and their bad usage, I think, has created a lot of problems for people to be able to keep and get their work done. And then, like you said, you have to add on to that. Now it's not just email. Now it's social media. It's obviously telephone, cell phone, text messaging. You know, I mean, we're getting bombed by so much stuff that it's pretty amazing anybody ever gets anything done.
Yeah, I mean, that is it. And, you know, I think about in going to trade shows and conferences and people telling me about, oh, here's how you want to learn to use Facebook or LinkedIn and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, I just do not need another something else on my desk at this point in my life. Yeah. I mean, I did finally, right or wrong, I did put in additional screens on my desk. So it's like I can keep things a little more compartmentalized. But that doesn't seem to get it. So tell us the ugly part about it. Is there a number? Is there a ratio? Is there some kind of guideline you would tell us just to how unproductive the average person is today?
Well, yeah, it's pretty fascinating. You know, if you look at the statistics, you know, a lot of the audiences I'm speaking to, I ask the question all the time, how much time you spend in every day just managing your email? And I'm getting answers anywhere from 2 to 5 hours per day for a lot of individuals. I would bet a lot of small business owners are doing just that much. I'm a small business owner myself. I know that I'm spending probably anywhere from 2 to 5 hours each and every day just processing, managing, responding to, replying, administering email messages. And that's just one resource. Like you said, you know, it's not just email. You got your phone, your voicemail, your text messaging, your social feeds. You know, and so we're seeing anywhere from a typical person, anywhere from 25 to 50% of what some people would call a normal work day is being spent on email. But now here's the interesting little kicker on this. So I've been going around the country talking on this topic for about 10 years, and I always ask this follow-up question. How many of you have had formal strategic level email management training? And I'm seeing consistently all over the United States, Canada, and even Europe, 1 to 3%. So this tool that's taken 25 to 50% of a normal person's workday, only 1 to 3% of that training on how to effectively use it, which means basically everybody is pretty much self-taught. And that's one of the biggest problems that we're running into in terms of efficiency, productivity, distraction. People are doing things just not very smart in terms of the way they're doing it because they've done it and figured it out on their own.
Now, do they also quote you numbers as to how many emails they get? I mean, I know when I talk to people, I hear the astronomical numbers, and I'm thinking, I don't get anywhere near that many emails. Are people just daydreaming this stuff up?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, one of the things, it's when I talk to people out there, you know, I'll have a certain group, certain percentage. A lot of people are getting 25 to 50 real emails a day. And when I say real emails, that means they're from your clients or your customers, your coworkers, your vendors. You know, then they're probably getting another 25 to 50, which are sort of marketing and promotional in nature from people they've had contact with. And then they're probably getting another 50 to 100 that's junk and spam or more. That's some. But I will tell you, there is a subsegment out there that might be getting as many as 200 to 300 emails a day that actually are somewhat work-related. Although that right there yells something, Tom. I mean, think about this. You get 200 to 300 a day, and you're spending just a couple minutes on each one. That's a whole day. Right there, that's a whole day. And one of the things that I'm telling people, you know, when I'm speaking to, you know, some of the different groups is, you know, if you're doing that much time on email, maybe email isn't the problem. Maybe it's the way you've designed the work that's the problem. That starts to get you beyond email as a problem into a job design issue.
I mean, how can someone have that many emails out there that it just consumes them?
It just floors me. I do see it. Well, it does happen. It's not unprecedented. And, you know, so they're dying because they're so stressed because they can't keep up. It's like it's trying to, you know, sweep up a flood with a broom. You know, it's not going to work.
So then let me ask this question. Is there a program? Is there something out there that you would tell us to look at installing that's going to kind of narrow some of this down?
Well, there are add-ons and things like that that you can look into. I think the most important thing to do is understand that the tools that are inside the software you're already using, what I've become fairly well known for is I go around the country and I basically teach programs where I feature some of the inside tools in terms of, you know, market-leading software like Microsoft Outlook and the Gmail email tool. And both of those have built inside of them some capabilities that will greatly allow you to be significantly more efficient with managing your email, significantly more productive in terms of managing your work, and significantly less distracted if you just set it up and use it properly. The thing that I'm seeing is that people aren't getting this because they've never been taught. You know, like I said, it blows my mind that people install fairly sophisticated software programs and then not give their employees any training whatsoever, not get their own training whatsoever. And that's why, you know, not only is it 1 to 3%, one of the other things that I just found was that the average person's checking their email 15 times a day. 20 to 25% are checking 20 or more times per day. Now, if you think about that, that means they're looking at their email screen every few minutes. And then they wonder, why am I so distracted? And it's because they're checking their inbox over and over again, not really doing anything with it. And related to that, another interesting statistic, the average professional email user looks at each and every email they get 3 to 7 times. I mean, just think about how much rework and spinning
the wheels. When you look at the average email 3 to 7 times?
The average person's looking at each and every email they get 3 to 7 times. Now, you know, you ask that question. They're getting a couple hundred a day, and they're looking at each one 3 to 7 times. I mean, that right there screams up, that's impossible. And that's what the statistics are showing. That's what is being reported.
So is this a situation where a person is looking at their email, opening it, and then letting it sit there and not act on it, and then come back again and read it a second time, a third time?
Yeah, that's exactly it. They're reading it just far enough to determine they don't have time to look at it right now. Think about how nuts that is. But that's exactly what they're doing. They open it and they read it just far enough to where they say, oh, I don't have time for this. Which means they got to look at it again and again and again until they finally make a decision. And so right there, that's one of my fundamental keystone tips when I talk in my program is if you're going to look at something new, and it doesn't have to be just email, voicemail, snail mail, document, e-document, fax, text message. If you're going to look at something new, you just made a contract with yourself. If you're going to look at it, you're not going to stop looking at it until you know what you need to do with it. And if you're so busy, so crazy, so on fire, you don't even have time to make that decision, I'm going to argue you're too busy, too crazy, too on fire to even look in the first place. If the house is burning down around you, why are you checking your new messages?
Yeah. Okay, I'm hearing you on this one.
Now, what's funny, though, you might get a hoot out of this. So I've had this follow-up question come up right at this point, though, in some of my live sessions. Somebody go, but Randy, what if I'm checking my email to see if it tells me how to put out the fire? And there is some credence to that. You know, sometimes that's where you're looking to see if you've got the thing you need to help you deal with the crisis you're dealing with. But what I would tell people is if you're actually in a firefighting mode, here's what you do. Don't look at every email coming in. Just scan the subject lines in your inbox looking for the one that's directly related to the fire you're fighting right now. Put out the fire. Get the fire put out. Deal with that. Don't get caught by anything else. And then once the fire's out, then you can go back to normal processing, which means you're going to look at something new. Don't stop looking at it till you know what you need to do with it. This is actually sort of a play off the old classic one-touch rule from when everything was still in paper form, paper and file form. And there was an old classic rule that said if you're going to get a new document on your desk, you touch it one time and you figure out what you need to do with it the very first time you look at it.
Okay.
And
so now,
there's a little anagram that's related called Let's Go to Ohio. Ohio, only handle it once. You know, and I just love the simplicity of some of this stuff. But, this is advanced common sense, but almost no one's doing it.
So you were mentioning the Outlook and Gmail. What about for people such as ourselves who I use an internet-based email program, not Outlook, not Gmail. I mean, I have a one email address. It's one email address I've had for almost ever, but it's not the one of those versions. What do you tell the rest of us?
And I always tell people, don't worry about the technique, worry about the strategy. The strategy will work regardless of the tool you're using. You just have to make sure that you're following the smart strategy. And so when I'm in the programs, you know, the full strategy is basically this. If you're going to get something new, you look at it one time. You decide what you need to do with it the first time you look at it. But then the second part of it is, and this is something I learned from a guy named David Allen who wrote the book Getting Things Done. You might be familiar with his work. He did something I think fundamentally genius. He said that, you know, he added a part two to that little simple one-touch rule, which was this. If you determine that the thing you're looking at is something you can handle quickly, get those ones done right now. Don't let the quick little things stack up on you. And so, in essence, it's like if you look at it once, you decide what you need to do with it, and then if you determine it's something you can handle quickly, just get it done. Why are you looking at it 2, 3, 4 times if you can just get it done and get it gone? And I think there's a ton of inherent logic behind that. And then if it's not something you can handle quickly, then the next step that you need to do is then whatever it is that needs to be done, that either goes on your task list or your calendar. And so that doesn't matter what kind of software you're using. If most of us got some form of a task list, to-do list, most of us got a calendar where we're tracking our appointments. And so you either get done with that thing or it goes on your calendar or your task list. And then once you've got it either done or on your calendar or task list, you either file it somewhere for later reference or you delete it. It isn't rocket science, but if you follow that, it's a diagnostic for everything that comes in, not just email, everything that comes in. And so it gets you very efficient at managing your inputs.
So what other kind of, I'm taking duly noted and putting checks by my name at this point. Yeah. So what other mistakes are we making?
Well, you know, the big mistakes that people are doing is the other thing that they do. So they're checking their email way too much. They're looking at their emails over and over again. They're not making decisions when they look at the email the first time. They're not handling the quick stuff right away and getting rid of it. And they're not putting their stuff away when they're done with it. Okay. And when you add all this up, in essence, what they're doing, and think about this, most people then are using their inbox in three very specific ways. And only one of those ways is correct. The correct way to use an inbox is to receive and process new messages. Thus the name inbox. It's where stuff has come in. You need to process that stuff, figure out what's going on with it, and get it to a better place. But here's where the people are really breaking down with their inbox. They're not just using it for processing the new stuff that's coming in. They're also using it as their de facto yet dirty and highly disorganized daily task list, as well as their de facto yet dirty and highly disorganized general file box for stuff they're not quite sure what they want to do with now. So in essence, they're trying to do three different things, none of which they're doing well. And so what they end up doing is looking at their inbox all day long and trying to figure out, what should I be looking at next?
All right, so what about a person who uses a program like me? I use ACT.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So ACT is basically where your task list resides then, correct? In essence, you're using ACT to help you determine when you should be contacting your clients and customers and et cetera, so that you can keep growing your business.
And when I go to the dentist and when I go for a haircut and all kinds of stuff.
That's all in your ACT. So ACT is also where you're housing your calendaring then, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's easy then. ACT is your conduit then. So when you're processing the email through your email site, if you can't get it done right now, then either the next step, the task, goes into ACT as a task, or the event or activity goes into your calendar in ACT. And so it should be a seamless process going right into your ACT system. And if you can get it to be a seamless process, in essence, sort of what I'm trying to get people to understand is you don't go to your inbox to figure out what to work on. Your inbox should be clear if you're doing it the right way. And then once you get your inbox clear, you go to either your task list or your calendar to figure out what to work on. And if your calendar is clear, then you know the only place left to go is your task list. Then you work your task list until it's time to check email again.
All right. Well, let's hold on to that thought a second. It's time we need to take a quick station break. Let me tell everyone that tonight's program, our guest is Randy Dean, and Randy Dean is an expert, on lots of things, but Andy refers to himself as the sanity expert with regard to the email. And we're dealing with aspects of time management and organization in our daily lives and our business and how that overflows into our personal lives. And we're using the information Randy's sharing with us tonight to help us figure out how can we come to some point in time where we shut it down for the day and don't take it home with us. Randy's website is Randall Dean, R-A-N-D-A-L-L, dean.com. And his office phone number is 517-336-8906. And with that, we're going to take a very quick station break.
This is eRetailer Conversations on PBN, the Profitable Business Network.
So, Randy Dean, as we were sitting here and visiting, we're looking at the idea that if we use something. Now, ACT can get to be kind of an expensive program to acquire. What would you tell someone who's not going to go out and buy an ACT? I mean, I'm thinking of someone who's a small business owner. Our audience here really doesn't have a lot of need or want to have something as elaborate as ACT. What would you suggest as a something for people to use for this organizational process?
Well, lots of people have been using tools like Microsoft Outlook for years and years, and I'm not going to say anything bad about it. It's a good tool. It's a solid tool that gives you a lot of capabilities built inside. Most people are only using 10 to 15% of what's inside of it. Now, an interesting little side note, though.
Is that a good point or a bad point? I think about for myself, I may use 10 to 15% of a program, and I'm thinking, do I really need all of it if I can use it in a very simplified version? Done what I want done?
Yeah, here's the thing. If you're getting done what you need to get done and you're getting it done smart and efficiently, then you're using the software perfectly. But if you feel like you're not getting done what needs to be done, you're getting yourself distracted because you're using it, and you're missing opportunities, you're missing, you know, ways you can build your business, then obviously there's a disconnect. And so, you know, what I tend to do, and I always tell people when I do my programs, I'm going to show you what's possible, but you got to pick and choose what's going to work for you, you know. And what I'm seeing is that a lot of people are underutilizing some of the more powerful tools in terms of client, project, and task management that are built into that. But Outlook's just one program. You know, the other thing that I would say is, you know, if I was running a small business with a whole lot of mobility as part of my business, where I'm in and out of the office a lot, I'm out on the floor, I'm trying to do some of this stuff on my phones and tablets, I'd actually probably recommend looking at Gmail and the other Google productivity apps that are out there, because, you know, that builds a pretty nice seamless suite. It's pretty low cost, and it means you can have your stuff on your computer, your phone, and your tablet, and they all work and synchronize and integrate beautifully with each other. So I think it just sort of depends on your business situation. If you're sitting behind a desk at a regular standard computer and you want some fairly advanced capabilities, I think Outlook's a very good tool. They've tried to build Office 365 to make it a little bit more interactive with phones and tablets. I honestly think the Gmail tools are a little easier to set up that way. That's my personal experience from trying it.
Okay, so Gmail is your favorite at this point.
It is if you're highly mobile. That's a funny question. I like them both. I like them both. That's the best way to put it. I think if I was sitting in a regular office-based situation in front of a PC for several hours a day, I'd probably still maybe lean a little bit toward Outlook. If I was in a very mobile situation where I'm in and out of the office a lot and I'm trying to do a lot of stuff on my phones and tablets, I'd probably lean toward Gmail.
Okay. Alrighty. So,
and I will also let me make this disclaimer. I don't think you have to use either one. I think you could use some other third-party tools as long as you got the right system in place. I don't know if the technology and the software matters that much anymore, frankly.
Okay. So now you mentioned a calendar.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned a task list.
Yeah.
Not the same thing?
No, they're not the same thing. Actually, this is one of the most frequent questions I get when I do my live programs. People all say, Randy, what is the difference between a calendar item and a task item? And I have a very simple way to explain it to people. A calendar item happens at a specific date and time. There is a specific block of time reserved for it. A task can happen any time that given day. And so in essence, what I always tell people is calendar items are the things that have blocked your time on your calendar. Tasks are the things you do in between your calendar items, if that makes any sense. And I have both of them. I have both of them up on – I have dual screens on my computer workstation. You mentioned that earlier. And on one screen is my calendar. On the other screen is my task list.
Okay. Okay.
And you can actually set up both Outlook and Gmail and Google Calendar, Google Tasks to do just that. You can actually have it on both screens on a regular PC setup if you got a dual monitor workstation.
Okay. Now, what about, though, let's look at it from the mobile standpoint. Talk to me some about the mobile standpoint and give me a little start on that, and then we'll go to our station break.
Yeah, sure thing. Well, on the mobile side, you know, I think the key thing is, do you have your key decision-making tools with you in your pocket? And the key decision-making tools, from my perspective, are, you know, there's basically five key decision-making tools that I see. Your email is where your inputs come in primarily. You know, one would argue voicemail and text messaging are two other inputs that you're getting. You've got your calendar, where you block your time for specific events. You got your task list, where you're plotting out the things you need to get done when you're not at a calendar event. You've got your contact database, where you store your information about the people you're interacting with on a regular basis. And you probably want some form of a notepad where you can just jot down and save ideas and information when you need to reference it. And so you got those five key features: email, calendar, contacts, tasks, and notes. And when we're talking about the mobile side of things, if you really want to have a good seamless system, you want to have access to all five of those things, not only on your computer, but also on your phone or your tablet too, and they need to talk to each other. And if you've got that set up, you can have a very flexible system that allows you to do what you need to do.
Okay. And so part of the key is that you've got your phone, your tablet, that you can move stuff electronically back and forth.
Yeah, and this is, you know, this is all what the rage of everybody talking about cloud computing, Tom. You know, that's what the cloud is. It's having your information basically hosted on somebody else's computer system so that when you're out and about using the Internet that's available, you can get your stuff and use your stuff and share your stuff when and as you need it.
Yeah, wherever you are, yeah, so you're not, don't. All right, let's take a quick station break, and then let's go back and let's talk about paper.
This is your Profitable Business Network.
And so with that, we take a bottom of the hour station break from our guest tonight, Randy Dean. Randy Dean from East Lansing, Michigan, website randalldean.com. And Randy is the email sanity expert. And we take a full station break at the bottom of the hour every time, and we throw a little commercial break in, and we thought since we were looking at the idea of time, this would be an appropriate commercial break. Okay, so Randy Dean, do we need to go to everything electronic? Excuse me. How about, can I do this with pencil and paper?
Absolutely. First 10 years of my career, that's exactly what I did. I was classically trained on the old planner-based systems. You might remember the Franklin Covey planners. I was also the
just what I was going to ask you. Did you do the Franklin Covey thing?
Yeah, I had gone through basically training on both systems. I was using a planner extensively for the first 10 years of my career. And then, you know, I was just sort of using email a little bit on the side and tracking a little bit of calendar stuff, which is what a lot of people were doing. And then what happened was I took a really good look at what was built inside of the software that I was using, and realized that a lot of the stuff I was doing on the paper-based systems, I could move over to the same electronic software systems. And then I just figured, well, that way I don't have to, you know, and I actually had a sort of funny thing happen. I mean, I had everything in my planner. I'm not kidding, Tom. Everything. I had my client list. I had my key project list. I had my task list. I had my calendar. I even had the slots to put in all of your credit cards and account cards and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I had everything in that thing. And then one day I had to go out to, I was back in my hometown of Battle Creek, Michigan, to stand up in a friend's wedding. And I had my planner, said, go get tux. So I go to get the tux at the tux shop. And I go inside, I got my planner, so I'm reminding myself what to do. I go in to get this tux. I come walking out to my car, and my hands are full. So I put the planner up on the top of the car, put the tux in the back, jingled around with a couple things, got in the car, drove off with my planner
good
on the roof. And the planner,
that was a problem.
Planner fell off the roof of my car into the busiest street in Battle Creek, Michigan, in the middle of a 5-lane, left-turn lane traffic insanity. And I didn't realize it till I'm like 5 minutes down the road. And all of a sudden I'm like, and I rolled the window down in my car, quickly put my hand up on the roof. It's gone. So I did a quick and immediate U-turn. I come driving back toward the tux shop, and I got about a mile from the tux shop, and I started seeing planner-sized papers blowing through the breeze. And I get back to the tux shop, which I now like to affectionately call the epicenter, and I saw the binder of my planner in the middle of the road. A truck had driven right over the spine. Everything blew up, and it was about a mile and a half in each direction, all of my stuff. And this was back before we worried about identity theft, and all I was thinking is, geez, somebody picks up all these papers, they can assume my life, because that's everything. And so at that moment, it was like 6 o'clock at rush hour on a Friday, and guess what I started doing, Tom?
Going only electronic.
No, I started running in and out of traffic to get all my papers.
Oh. Oh, you didn't give up on it. Okay, you're actually gathering the stuff.
I got all my stuff, most of it. I didn't get everything back, but it taught me a lesson. It said, you know, the problem with paper is that, you know, if you put all your eggs in one basket, you better dang well watch that basket. And, you know, and when I saw the one of the nice things I really like about electronic is if you're doing it right, you've got double and triple backups. So even if, you know, like if I were to lose my phone, I've actually had my phone stolen before. I didn't panic at all. I just called the wireless company. I said, you got to shut that line down so that they can't use it. They zapped the phone remotely. I got a new phone. I plugged it into the electronic systems on the cloud, downloaded all my stuff back in, and in 2 days I was back in business. I didn't lose a thing. You know, and that's one of the benefits I like about the electronic world. But I always tell people, you know, if the big coronal mass ejection from the sun hits and the grid goes dark and we have to go back to paper, I could go back to paper in a day if I needed to.
Okay, well now let's ask this question then. If were something to happen, does this invite the conversation about backup?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, one of the things that's nice, you know, I talked about Gmail a little while ago. One of the things I really like about the Gmail system is that it's already effectively backed up like triple times. You know, it's not only is it on your computer, but it's also on Google's cloud. And you know Google's got people doing backups of everything on their cloud. And you've got it on your phone and you've got it on your tablet. So when you think about it, you've got like five layers of backup when you think about it. Now, of course, if Google had a major problem and lost both their primary and their backup locations, then you might lose your stuff because even if you got the phone still, you might not be able to get your stuff back. But I think the risk of that, I always tell people, what do you think is more of a risk? You forgetting to back up your own laptop or Google forgetting to do their appropriate backups of all of their information? And then the follow-up question I always ask is, which one of you has their own dedicated full-time IT and security staff working around the clock?
Okay, so now let's ask, what about a past, something like that? Are you also recommending for people a backup program?
Oh, well, you know, they always say the smartest thing you can do is have a triple-layer backup when it comes to your electronic information. You've obviously got it on your computer or your phone. So you've already got the data stored there. The best practice that I've heard is basically that you should have a backup drive, probably at your business location or your home location, maybe both, which the minute you walk into that location, it immediately backs up and synchronizes the data on your computer or your phone to that backup drive. And then you should have a backup of that backup drive at an offsite location. You know, maybe hosted by somebody else, maybe hosted by Google, or maybe hosted by, you know, there's some third-party firms out there that's what they do. Like, I think one of them is like Carbonite and Barracuda Networks. You hear about some of these things. That's what they do. They basically give you backups of your primary data using the cloud.
And SugarSync is another one. Sooner is another one.
Yeah, and all of these tools, what they're basically doing is, you know, it's sort of like you got to think, what's the worst case possible scenario? And I always tell people, the worst case scenario, an asteroid hits your house, and both your phone and your computer and your backup drive, all three are in your house when the asteroid hits. Well, you're not in trouble. You're not in trouble if it's all backed up remotely to a third-party location, unless, of course, it's a really big asteroid. But then,
so I was gonna say,
then
as long as you're not in the
backups,
house.
Yeah, then your backups don't matter, right?
Yeah, I think about, if it happens that way, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but, you ask a question about paper. I mean, you know, I could go back to paper in a minute if I needed to. I honestly could.
All right, my thought is for the person out there who is listening to what we have to say tonight and saying, this is how I do it. And my thought is, that's okay. I mean, I think about myself teaching an aspect of financial management and asking a group of people at one point, how many of you know how to do this? And there was a couple that came up. And she was the one who did most of the talking, and her comment was that she was concerned and embarrassed because she did it on her work on a legal pad. And my comment to her was, but lady, you're the only one here who does any of it. How could you feel embarrassed to do it paper-wise? And you're the only person in the room who even does it. Those who are sitting there with all their little electronic gadgets, you're working it one way or another. The key is you're working it.
Yeah, yeah. And the key is, you know, do you have a calendar so you know what's going on your day? Do you have a task list that's related to your projects and clients so you're working on the right stuff? Do you have a way to handle and manage your inputs so that they get integrated so you can adjust when new things happen that you're not expecting? I mean, do you have a way to avoid the distraction? I don't think the technology matters much when it comes to the big picture stuff. What matters is you're working on the right stuff at the right time, creating value for yourself and the people around you. And however you do that, that's what matters.
Okay. So let's take a quick moment before we get too deep in the show. And I don't have the recording that we normally have, but let me tell folks about our program for next month. We are scheduled for November 12th, Thursday night, November 12th, for the next program of E-Retailer Conversation. And my guest that evening is going to be a gentleman by name of Jeff Milshen. And Jeff is the head, co-founder, co-CEO of an organization called AMIBA, A-M-I-B-A. And that is the American Independent Business Alliance. And this is when you look at things like shop locals and programs that are shop local first and support of here's how to create campaigns to get people to do business with locally owned businesses, whether you are a service provider or whether you are a product-oriented business. This is the company or the organization that gets people's attention, and you see them with things like the Independence Week and Independent Retailer Month program that we had created, the Shop Small, which is the offshoot of what was Small Business Saturday, which came from American Express, the Shift Your Shopping campaign, all these type of things that come up. AMIBA, which is a nonprofit organization, this is their thing. And one of the most interesting statistics that I have seen talks about how it is that when a community works together to create it, the number of people, government officials, the authorities who, you know, from sanitation and water and electric and all this, all the other stuff, to customers, now pay closer attention to the small independent businesses. They also talk about the fact that in getting the businesses to create the program, participate in it, what's occurring is that the independent businesses are doing a better job of referring customers to each other. And the statistic I saw, I believe it was from last year, that communities that had programs such as this, the businesses experienced about a 2-to-1 increase in sales revenue as compared to the communities that do not. The communities without were something like 4%, and it was right at 9% that any community that had one of these type of programs going would experience. So to that extent, we started to talk to Jeff and ask him if he would come and spend an hour with us. And so we're going to discuss what is an independent business alliance and how do all these programs exist and how can they possibly work with each other. And to that extent, I'm hoping that everybody would want to take and come and join us for Thursday, November 12th. And also at this point, we are planning or expecting that our guest for December, which right now is December 10th is our current schedule for the program, It's going to be our favorite tax coach and CPA joining us, Mike McCormick. And Mike has been with our program a number of times. He also wrote the book, The Entrepreneur's Guide to Types of Business Ownership, whether you're a C-Corp, S-Corp, and things like that. So that's our guest to round out the year for 2015 for us. Okay, Randy, so let's go back. Let's take a look at some more ideas here, some things that we need to be doing. So if I wanted to, in listening to the program tonight, decide that I'm going to wake up different tomorrow, do things a whole lot different tomorrow, starting with email, what would I do?
Yeah. Well, first thing I tell you to do is don't do email first. That may sound a little bit blasphemous to a few people, but I always recommend that before you even look at your email, you get yourself grounded for a few minutes in both your calendar and your task list for the day. You know, look at how much of your time is already blocked. Look at what's coming not just today, but maybe a few days in advance. And then look at your task list. You know, and when I say task list, I want to make sure that you understand the layers. I think your task list should be a strong reflection of your key projects, your key clients, and your key activities. So in essence, you almost want to have two lists. When I used to teach paper-based systems, I used to teach you got to have two lists. One is a list of your key projects, your key clients, your key activities, and then your task list is what you need to do next on each of those key projects, clients, and activities. And so in essence, what I'm recommending people do is maybe in the first 5 minutes of the day, get themselves grounded in both their time and their plan for what they're going to do with their open time each day before they even look at their email. You know, so in essence, don't walk in and just open up your email and start working on email, because then you're just going to basically be reacting and responding to whatever's coming in. And then when you get into your email, after you get yourself, you know, sort of focused on your time and your task list first, if it's quick, deal with it now. If it's not quick, put it on your calendar or your task list. Once you've got it either done or on your calendar or task list, either file that thing, or if you think you're going to need it later, or delete it. And if you don't have a good place to file it, make one and put it there. Okay, so, and since you're doing this with your email, why not do that with all of your inputs? Not just email, but email, voicemail, snail mail, documents, e-documents, faxes, text messages. Run all of them through that decision tree so that regardless of format, if it's quick, you deal with it. If it's not quick, it goes on your calendar or task list, so you can prioritize when you're going to get it done later, and then either put it away or throw it away. And if you get yourself into this, you're going to get hyper-efficient with managing your inputs as well as getting clear on how it is you want to use your time and what key projects and tasks and activities you want to get your work done on. And so that's how I recommend you start the day. Now, here's the little itch that people get right here, though. Well, Randy, aren't there emails coming in all day long?
Yeah,
there are. And so what you need to do then is also get yourself on a regimen. And when I say a regimen that balances how often you need to go back and check your email and your other inputs to be appropriately responsive to your key clients, customers, coworkers, vendors, but also blocks of time where you're not constantly being interrupted, so you can actually get a little bit of work done too. And so in essence, you want some blocks of time where you're not getting interrupted to get some key things done, and then go back and check your email periodically. And the reason you want to do this, Tom, listen to this. This was fascinating. You might get a hoot out of this. There was a study that I found that was done. It was covered in Yoga Journal, but it was also covered by CNN and ABC News. And here's what the study said. It said that people that are constantly and never-endingly checking their email, it may be negatively affecting their IQ. A recent study by the Institute of Psychiatry at the University of London found that people that were incessantly checking their email, voicemail, and text messages throughout the day suffered what was approximately a 10-point drop to their IQ when they were doing that. Now, to put that in some perspective, that's roughly the same loss you'd experience if you missed an entire night's sleep and more than double the 4-point loss you'd have from smoking marijuana. So if you're constantly checking...
Okay, Randy, are you still?
Yeah, I still am. Yep.
Okay, we lost you there for a second.
Oh, did you? Oh,
why don't you back up about 10 seconds there?
Okay, so what I was saying is basically if you are constantly checking all of your inputs right when they come in, it literally makes you about twice as dumb as a pot smoker. Of course you can't afford that. So that's sort of crazy. And, you know, so what I'm recommending to people do is don't check constantly, but check periodically, so that you can keep your focus and actually get some work done, but still check enough so that people think you're responsive.
So I think of someone such as myself who checks email first thing in the morning because I'm just looking for nice, pleasant surprises from people.
Yeah, and I'm still okay with that. But I just look at your calendar and task list before. Before you look at your email, look at your calendar and task list first. That little act will maybe change your focus of reference and where you're putting your time and your energy.
Okay. Let's address one other issue. A lot of us in small business out somewhere doing work, and we are not having with us at the moment a phone or an iPad or something to that effect. What about the idea that you're in positions where you have to take written notes?
Mm-hmm.
What then? A customer, and they say, hey, can you find this for me? Could you do this? Or would you get at some point, you give me a call back, whatever it may be,
and you pull
pen and paper out of it? How do we handle that?
Well, what I have to tell you, I've moved almost all of that to my phone. I keep my phone with me everywhere, and I use tools like not just like Google or Gmail or the online email and calendaring apps on my phone. I also use a tool like Evernote, which is an app that you can get on your phone. It's basically a telephone notepad that syncs to the cloud. And so I could take all my notes there. One of the other things I do when I'm out on the road is I will often send myself an email to remind myself of what I promised I would do for somebody. So I send myself the email because then when I get back into my office, I can quickly and easily convert that email into a calendar item or a task. You know, so that's what I'm doing because I'm using the technology. But, you know, like I said, the first 10 years of my career, I would do all of this in a little note section I had in my planner. I don't care how you do it. Just don't lose the idea. Don't lose the promise that you made. Don't lose the response. It's got to be in some format. And then when you get back into the office, regardless of whether you're using a telephone or if you're using a paper system, you need to take those inputs that happen when you are away from your technology and make sure they get indoctrinated into whatever you're using, your calendar and or your task list.
What about, I'm trying to remember the name of it, and it is escaping me, and it is a free email service that when you have an email and you want to look at it a certain time, you forward it to...
I've heard of the service you're talking about. I don't use it. I've heard of it, though. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I can't think what it is. It's like you send it to Sunday at Remind Me Now or something like that. And remindmenow.com, something to that effect.
Yeah. That's a brilliant idea, but the way I'm utilizing my technology, I've got mine all set up so that those reminders appear naturally in both either my calendar or my task list. So the key thing is, are you getting the reminders to take the actions you need to take when you need to take them? And regardless of how you set it up, if you're doing it the right way, you're going to be successful. But the old adage, 80% of success is just showing up on time.
Okay. Well, we got time for one last station break, and then we're going to take and wrap up our conversation with Randy Dean. Here we go.
This is PBN.
This is eRetailer Conversation for Thursday, October 8, 2015. Our guest who has been with us tonight, Randy Dean. And Randy Dean is the email sanity expert. He's a professional expert on time and email management, organization, and related ways of using technology in our business. If you would like to talk to Randy about the if you want to talk to Randy about the mess that you've got, like I do at times, Randall Dean, RANDALLDEAN.com, or his phone number is 516-336-8906. Tom is having an issue with speaking tonight. The medications are not kicking in as good as they should. Or you can reach him at randy@randalldean.com or visit the website. That's how you get in touch with him. Randy, we've talked a bunch of times tonight about our smartphones. and those who are always using tablets. How about some apps? Any apps in closing that you want to tell us?
Oh, yeah, there's a ton of apps. If it comes to task lists, you don't have to use Outlook or the Google Tasks tool. A lot of people are now moving to utilizing a task manager on their phone or tablet because the best place to have your task list is in your pocket. If you think about it, wherever you're at, you want your task list. The couple that I've noticed recently, one that I've been looking at for a couple of years now is called ToodleDoo. That's a very solid task tool. Another one is called TickTick, and that one's a little bit newer for me, but it looks like it's got some really solid capabilities.
Okay, let's try this. What was the first one? ToodleDoo?
ToodleDoo. Great. Bad name, good program. Good app. The other one is called TickTick, and both of those look pretty solid as task management tools. I already mentioned Evernote. Evernote is a really solid note and idea manager, and I'm a huge fan of that one for that. Some of the other programs that I'm recommending that utilize on a fairly regular basis, if you're using Microsoft Outlook, you definitely want to take a look at Office 365 because what that promises is to get most of your Outlook information so that it's usable on your phone and devices. If you're using Gmail, then you want to look at the Google suite of tools like Gmail, Google Calendar, Google Contacts. There's some task tools that will integrate with the Google Task capability. And then there's, of course, Google Docs. Which is on the Google Drive online server. And all of these are apps that allow you to basically build the same platform and capabilities you have on your computer, on your phone or your tablet to help you with decision making. A lot of these are the kinds of things that you're doing to get just your basic stuff. And then when you go beyond the basics, I'll tell you one that I just love. This is sort of a cool one. There's two things. One is called Scan to PDF Free, and the other one is called Cam Scanner. And what these apps do, which is really slick, you use the camera on your phone, and if you have the app, you can actually take a picture of a document, and using the app, it will automatically convert that picture into a PDF file. So you can make your own, you can basically make your phone a scanner, which is really slick. I use that one fairly frequently. That's a pretty good one. If you're using the Google suite of products, you might want to get like Google Docs and Google Sheets. That allows you to effectively create documents on the fly when you're away from home. I recommend you get one of the good password apps so you can track and manage all of your online and offline, usernames and passwords. One that a lot of people have been talking about is called Dashlane, which allows you to basically just click on a button and it'll log you right into whatever website you want to be in or whatever.
Tell us that name again real quick.
Dashlane.
Dash, like Dashlane.
Yes, Dashlane. And that one looks pretty slick if you're doing password management. Some of the other ones that I recommend that are pretty good are things like Grocery IQ. This is sort of fun. My wife has Grocery IQ on her phone. I have it on my phone, but we've got the same username and password. So we're basically sharing the account on the cloud, which means like we can create shopping lists for each other. And I can put something on the list, and she'll get it when she's at the store and vice versa. So that one's pretty nice and slick. So there's a lot of things out there. And, the other thing is look at the peripherals now. One of the other things that we've got what they call an air printer now. And what an air printer is basically we get the e-printing app on our phone and our tablet, and I can be anywhere and print a photo off my phone on our printer at home. So that's pretty
okay.
Slick.
Now, give me the name of that one also one more time.
Well, it usually depends on the printer that you have. Got an HP printer, and they had an app that I could install called HP ePrint on my phone and my tablet, and I can just basically hit a button, and I can print from my phone or tablet through my wireless network in my house.
Now, can you be anywhere away from your house to do it?
As long as I'm getting into network access, the answer to that is possibly yes. You'll have to be able to set up the tech, but the answer to that is theoretically, feasibly, yes.
Okay. Well, folks, that's all the time we've got for tonight's program. I thank everyone for coming to join us, listening on what we've had to say tonight. Not so much me, but what Randy Dean has brought to us. And for the last time, let me tell you where and how to find Randy Dean. His website is Randall Dean, RANDALL Dean.com. His number, 517-336-8906. Email is randy@randalldean.com. And Randy is the email sanity expert who tonight has talked to us not only about email, but organizational skills and phone apps and all kinds of technology that we might, starting tomorrow, just might be able to do something a little differently to be a little more organized in our work. I think that's pretty dadgum good. And with that being said, Randy, as this is your first visit with us, we always close the program with, being as we are for the most part independent retailers, here's our closing sound. And with that, I tell everybody, Randy included, thanks for being with us. It was my pleasure to have you on the program.
It's been our pleasure to share fresh ideas and trends from premier small business owners, coaches, and resources. Join Tom Shea and guests again next month for e-retailer conversations right here on PBN, the Profitable Business Network. This is PBN.
Randy, you still there?
Yeah, sure am.
Well, thank you for being there. I appreciate you being on the program tonight.
Yeah, I hope you had fun. Hope you got a few things that'll help your audience a bit.